Hi, this is Jenny Walker, and welcome to Closet Conversations. Today I'm bringing you my very first guest on this podcast. This is someone that is a close friend of mine and someone I knew from my days in New York, and we are both living here now in Pasadena. Her name is Emiko. She is a recording artist. She's an international recording artist and social media expert. She is someone that is in the public eye through channels like YouTube, Facebook Lives, live stage performances, music videos, commercials, and the list goes on and on. And Emiko is someone that I wanted to bring on to speak with us and to talk to you about some of the ways that you can dress like a million-dollar rock star by sourcing through places like consignment resale shops. So Emiko, welcome to the show.
Jenny, thank you so much for having me. This is very exciting.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. So it's interesting. We are on the other coast today.
Yes.
We met in New York City back in, what, when was that?
Like too long ago.
It was like 2000.
Three?
2000, no, 2001?
Maybe.
I think 2001.
Something like
we
that.
We met then. We were both spending time in the music scene in New York City, and we've stayed friends and certainly follow each other's progress over all these years. It's so fun to watch people evolve and change. And,
oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring you into the audience here on this podcast because, you know, the consignment and resale industry, there's so many different angles to it. And I know one of the unique angles is the styling angle. And you know, you're someone who's in the public eye a lot, and you've got to have a lot of looks. I mean, the, you know, what you dress for one event might be not appropriate for, you know, something you're doing on stage versus a music video. And I thought, if you could talk about some of the different ways you've worked with stylists and have sourced items, you know, on a really friendly budget, but also to get really unique pieces that you've been able to wear and help build your profile as an artist.
Sure. So one of the biggest challenges that I face as an artist and as a public figure who's also constantly traveling is durability in my wardrobe. And that's a big deal for me because if I'm hopping on a plane and then from the plane I'm hopping into a car and then into a train and then onto another plane, comfort is key, style is key, durability is key, and ease of wear. All of those things are really important. And then, of course, you get to the venue or the hotel, you do a quick changeover, and then all of a sudden you have to, in my case, be wrapped up and bound in something that's shape-shifting and shiny and not the easiest to move in. So there are a lot of considerations that I have. What I wear on stage, we have a pretty high energy show a lot of the time, so there's a lot of sweating going on. I hate to be gross, but it's true. Music videos and television commercials and hosting stuff that we do, it's the same kind of thing where hot lights on a set for 10, 12, 16 hours a day. You are stuck in this outfit all day long. You must look perfect all day long. Nothing out of place, no wrinkles. And it becomes very difficult. And when you're given a wardrobe, that's pretty easy to do. But when you, like, we just got off the American tour two months ago, and packing for that, we were doing one-nighters. And so I found for myself some of the most important lessons in styling that I learned are actually from you in terms of having key pieces and versatility and switching things up with accessories and also how to pack the key pieces. And so I came to you, and I also went to a couple of resale shops around to look for unique pieces that are not off the rack, that are not easily found, but that are also very budget friendly. Because when you're moving from city to city, putting up a show, tearing it down night after night, you can't be doing that in a $5,000 gilded and beaded jacket. It's just not a good idea.
Terrible idea.
It really is a terrible idea. Despite if you have a crew or not, that's not even the point. The point is comfort is key in situations like that. So for me, consignment stores and resale shops have been a real haven and goldmine for styling. And also, as you know, since we're friends in real life, I spent most of my early and mid-20s dressing like a six-year-old child when I wasn't on the road.
Safety pins and boots.
Yes, 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 double-sided tape here and there. It's true. But it was because I was so busy all the time. And so, and these types of consignment and resale shops didn't actually really exist then. Not in the same way that they do now. And so... it's given me an opportunity to really find and express my personal style as well, with a lot of ease.
Well, you keep sort of, you're evolving as an artist. So, you're evolving as an artist. And so, like what you were wearing, 10 years ago is not, who you are today, although certain things have endured. Like, I mean, you have this kind of rocker, motorcycle pants, rocker jean, yeah. Rocker tee kind of look that's kind of consistently followed you. But when it comes to a music video, then that's something very different. And
yes.
I know from having done a music video of my own, you remember the one I did with Tommy?
Yeah.
It's Our Time music video. And we did that in his studio. What I remember, I was in a 100% wool coat.
Smooth.
And I just remember like I had had my makeup done and all this stuff. And like, I remember just sweating, like just dripping.
Yeah.
Because even in that small space, those lights were just brutal. I mean, it was just brutal. And so that's because I was a novice and a newbie at doing anything like that. I had never done that before. And so I didn't understand the impact that these lights were going to have. So something as simple as the lights on stage, the lights in a video shoot. I mean, it's going to impact and you're going to sweat. You're just, there's no way around it. So being dressed in a whole lot of wool and leather may not make sense for certain things, but some of the coolest things in the world are made out of these heavier fabrics. So you've got to sometimes find your way around it.
Well, I remember doing, we did a huge shoot in New York that you styled me for. And I remember wearing that beautiful Ralph Lauren. There was this cream colored Ralph Lauren tails jacket that Jenny put me in. And the whole time, I remember the whole time you were styling me, you could say, don't forget the sweat pads. Don't forget the sweat pads under the arms. Don't forget the sweat pads. And you safety pin them in there. And it was, first of all, I was so self-conscious because we had a huge crew. We had a dolly cam and tracks and the whole things. And we did this shoot at Clinton Studios when it was still around. And I remember playing this unbelievable 9 or 10 foot grand piano and just thinking to myself, okay, don't put my arms down because I'll sweat and then she'll get really upset. Yeah. And then
I wouldn't do it that way again. Now I know better. I know better because what was interesting about that is the reason was because it was a loaner. I mean, and this is for people to understand, when artists are loaned clothes and artists buy clothes, right? I mean, they do both. And so I had something that was brand new, never worn, gorgeous ivory silk.
Right.
Tuxedo Tails coat by Ralph Lauren, purple label. Coat. So I'm like, how do I loan this to her and it not get ruined? From the lighting for what I knew it was going to go through. And I was we pinned underneath and we did all this stuff.
Oh,
and, and it survived.
It did survive. I remember rolling antiperspirant. I went to the drugstore, I'll never forget, and I got Secret or some brand, the rollerball antiperspirant, and literally smeared it on my chest and my ribs and everywhere that I could because I thought, oh my God, if I get one speck on this jacket, I'm not going to live to my next birthday. I just knew it. And it was just a magnificent coat. And the same thing happened with when we shot with Cyndi Lauper, and you were kind enough to loan me that beautiful fringe.
The Donna Karan fringe shirt, that all white outfit you had to wear.
Cyndi, in her incredible wisdom and art direction, decided that she wanted the band in all white, and what an amazing look.
Which commercial was this? Remind me.
This was for the music video for her song Hope. Hashtag Hope.
It was a commercial, right?
Well, she'd written the song and they had used it in the commercial. So the commercial was the music video. It was kind of this all-in-one thing. And she wanted, I remember the stylist and somebody from the production company called me and said, well, Ms. Lauper would like to see some options and we're going to go shopping. And I thought, okay. And they said, well, she's either going to go for all black or all white. And I thought, oh, there's nothing really in between. Okay. And I'm flying in from LA. So I thought, there's no time. If there's a change, I have to be prepared. And I remember I went to you and I said, what do I do? And
we
looked at all these options. And they ended up using that fringe,
they did,
the Donna Karan fringe
shirt. It was
shirt.
A nice extra thing to.
But again,
have in there.
Sweating bullets, and that was the one where I was jumping up and down the whole time.
The good news, it was polyester, and this is the thing: like it was hand washed when I got it back.
Right,
it was
hand washed.
In woolite, and so
right.
It being that fabric, you know, it kind of withstood. You know what it went through, but
nevertheless, though, I think when you get something on a pull or as a loan, you are very conscious of how to treat it, because it has to go back to the person or the designer in the condition in which it was loaned to you.
Or you got to buy it. That's
or
the
you
way
have to buy
it.
Right. But that's really, I mean, for me, it's about if you loan me something, it's about the trust in our relationship also as
yeah,
a stylist.
We
and
kind
as,
of have a unique, special,
yes.
we have a special transactional rate between the two of us.
We do, yes.
But in the real
right.
world, in
right.
the real world, as in, not that you're not the real world, but in the
everybody
rest
else's
of the,
world.
Everyone else's, you know, when I do styling and I, you know, have inventory that people want to use for whatever shoots, video
right.
shoots or live events,
yeah.
you know, it's a whole thing, you know, there's a contract and minimums and
right.
credit card deposits
yes.
and things like that. But what I love is that, you know, as someone who does styling, and I offer that service for free within the consignment shop that I'm co-owner of, Walker Vine Luxury Consignment. But then on the side, I do the styling, on my own outside of that company with, Jenny Girl's Closet. And,
right.
you know, it's a lot of fun to be able to dress people and then own the inventory to do it. And that's really one of the things that's unique. Like you came in to the store the other day and you tried on this another Tails coat.
Oh, yes.
You always love Tails coats,
I don't know
right?
why that is.
It
what
looked
I do.
Amazing on you. And it was a vintage
you.
Moschino piece.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was like, it's like one size too small. I'm going to try to get it in your size. I'm going to find it. Trust me.
My fingers are crossed
yes,
right
yes.
now.
But that thing was gorgeous. And, you know, it stood the test of time. And when you're dealing with vintage, which is what you're going to find in these stores, you know, as a stylist, you know, you have a certain eye for an artist, and to put them in something that they wouldn't necessarily pick for themselves, you know, is always thrilling, because then you can kind of see, oh, I would never have thought of this. You know, this is
right.
not, it's kind of the point of finding someone else who can be objective. I'm not objective. Matter of fact, you need to style me, I think. I am the worst. I can dress anybody, but I can't dress myself, you know.
Well, I think that's true of all of us. And I mean, a lot of what I've learned from you, and how, like when you styled me for the Grammys.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, Jenny put me in this vintage, Alice and Olivia shorts, dress, maxi thing.
Yeah,
remember
it was
that?
Little, it was mini shorts.
Right. Which I love mini shorts. Cause again, I dress like a 6-year-old.
No, no, she has great legs. Actually, this is one of her top features.
Oh,
the size. It's true.
Well, thank you.
And you have these amazing, they have like Tina Turner legs. You know what
oh,
I'm talking about?
Oh, geez. That's
it's like amazing.
Pressure,
right?
pressure.
And, put her in this long gown, but underneath the gown, it was sheer and it had mini shorts.
Right.
But then we had you in cool, like cage shoes. And then you
right.
had a vintage Fendi bag.
Right.
And then you had the Christian Dior runway belt.
Oh, that thing was
that
amazing.
Thing
that thing
is,
was a weapon.
I put
unreal.
A picture of that on Instagram, but I was like,
yes.
how much is it? I'm like, not for sale.
Right. Yeah,
stylist
yeah.
own.
Right.
Like, I used to see that in, like, Vogue magazine. It would say, stylist own. I'd get so mad because it would, like, be some amazing hat or some,
right.
like, crazy thing. And you're like, I don't want it to be stylist own. I want to buy that thing.
But that's,
you know?
But I think that's the point, is like a lot of the stylists do comb the racks at consignment shops and flea markets and resale stores and estate sales, because they find those unique
Absolutely.
Pieces. I've got a couple of pieces that people keep asking me, where did you get that? Where did you get that? I want that. And the answer is, it's the only one that I've ever seen. And I just got it by accident. And when they say, how much was it? And I say, $8, they get even more upset. And I understand
right.
why, but there's a certain level of, I think there's also a certain level of pride in being able to find and curate that as well, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes, like with styling, I know for the video that you did, what's the most recent one you did for, where I put you in that, union job?
Oh, I Believe You video.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So in that one, it was interesting because you were talking through like the concept of that video, and
right.
I just had this thing came through me that based on lots of layers to do with you. There's lots of layers.
Privileged knowledge.
Yes. Like in any, everyone knows every artist who writes a song that there's like you know,
story behind
there's
it.
A very deep well right. underneath yes. every song and every word and every lyric in every song. So knowing a lot of the backstory on that and behind the scenes, I came up with this idea
right.
to wear this Union Jack, sparkly.
Yeah.
And you know what's so funny is that was not, what's so interesting is that on camera it looked really good. It was not an expensive piece by any means. Like it wasn't like some multi-$1,000 piece. Like it just looked good. And
right.
I think a lot of times when you're styling for a music video, it's what is that impact? I mean, how does it
right.
the camera pick it up? How does it look in the
yeah.
light? And you were in what do you call that? All white.
Oh, we were
stage.
In a we were in a white psych room that day with Infinity Walls. We had to wear little like surgical booties on our feet so as not to dirty the floor.
Right.
You know, yeah, and I had white jeans on as well. That's
yeah, but
right.
it really popped. I mean, I was really happily surprised.
Yeah.
It looked so good
yeah.
On camera because you know sometimes an idea that you have doesn't translate, and
sure.
usually you have an opportunity to test it ahead of time, you
right.
know, but which
yeah.
we didn't. It was all is all good things were for me, you know, it's like a last minute idea, and I think that's where a lot of creativity is you know, you go through and you have all this thought of how something should be, and then
right.
at the last minute you're going, wait a minute, this little tweak could make all the difference.
Absolutely, and I think the other thing that's so great because. In a setting like that, I don't think ever since both of us respectively moved to the West Coast, neither of us has, because when we were in New York, we were combing through Bloomingdale's and Bergdorf's 5F, like weekend
yeah, yeah.
after weekend. And since we've been here, I don't think either of us have, I've never gone to a major department store with you
Mm-mm.
since we've been here in the few years
no,
that we've
we
been
haven't.
Here.
And you know why? It's, you can find so much now in the consignment shops that are
yeah.
around there. And, you know, when I'm not in my own consignment shop, I'm probably at someone else's, which isn't
yeah.
very often. But, like, I love being in an environment where I can see amazing pieces. Like,
yeah.
I was in Santa Monica
mm-hmm.
a few months ago and working on this really special project, Moschino project
oh,
I
yes.
was working on and trying
yeah, yeah.
to find vintage pieces. And I was, like, turning under, looking under every rock
mm-hmm.
and every stone all over the world to find this stuff. And was in Santa Monica and found a couple of really cool things that, you know, because everybody's looking for something different. And for
right.
me, I walked in, I saw this thing, and I'm like, that is for me. That is for what I'm doing, right?
Because yeah.
there's something for everyone.
Sure.
Now, your style has evolved, you know, over time and, you know, everything from, you know, the stage wear to, you know, now, like you spend a lot of time in the Delta Lounge, for example, you know.
Thanks,
so,
Delta
right.
Airlines. Yes, that's true. That's
so,
true.
Like, you know, as an artist and someone who's in the public eye, I mean, you have, like, not just the video and
right.
the stage and all that.
Yeah.
You have the off-duty. And, I mean, you know, when you're, you have to still look good going
yes.
through the airport.
Yes.
I think you're on the way to the airport pretty soon.
So I'm going tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
yeah.
And you'll have to be in the Delta Lounge again, as
yes.
you always are. And
yes.
Which is, by the way, I think I went with you once.
Yes.
We were on a flight together.
Yes. We flew back from New York to LA.
Let me tell you, if y'all do not get on the Delta Lounge, you need to put that at the top of your list because it's probably the most, you know, sane way to fly. I mean, you know, here, all these years, this is the only thing ever, sidebar. I
yeah.
never thought about this
hmm.
until I experienced it once with you and once, I think Delta upgraded me on a
mm-hmm.
flight or something and
right.
I ended up in there and I'm like, this is how the other half is doing it, right? This is like, I could be at the airport 6 hours ahead of time if
right.
I could sit in the lounge,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and have access to beverages and food and
well,
Wi-Fi, you know?
Funny story, I'll tell you. I had an engagement. I took a red-eye flight from LAX. This was a few months ago. And I had to be downtown in Lower Manhattan at like 8:30 or 9 in the morning. And the only flight I could get was a red-eye. I just couldn't get out of a session or there's something going on here in L.A. And I thought, all right. And this is the kind of crazy schedule that I have. And I thought, right, well, I'm going to fly in some form of pajama-looking outfit okay. because I can at least sleep on the flight or right, whatever. Right. Unbeknownst to me, sidebar, I had a layover in Minneapolis at 3 in the morning, so I had to get up.
Nice.
All ass across the terminal. But I landed in at Kennedy Airport in New York at some god-awful, 6:15 in the morning, or we were the first flight in or something, and went straight to the Sky Club, took a shower. Because
wow.
they have shower facilities at the one in JFK.
Wow.
And opened my suitcase and immediately put on whatever I had picked out for the day. And everything that I had picked out was ultimately consignment shop or resale shop based, because it was the type of thing where it popped up. I got a phone call. Hey, you got to be in New York this date at this time. And I went, oh my gosh, I have no time to prepare anything. And so... the first thing I did was I called you. I looked in my closet. I went down the street to a couple of resale shops and sort of found a bunch of things. But yeah, it's true. You do have to be, at least in my line of work, you do have to be always on. Even when you tell people that you're off, you're still on. Just so ladies and gentlemen out there in podcast world, just so you know, whenever an artist tells you that they're off, they're still on. They're lying to you. They're still on.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
matter. We don't turn off. But it is something that I've had to organize. My assistant and I went through my closet, and I had to organize like one section for daily wear, one section for studio wear, one section for interviews, public appearances, one for formal like red carpet stuff, one for shows, one for, hosting and things like that. And then I have a photo shoot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I have sections in my closet, so I no longer have to sort of decide what I want
to
wear.
You do have to update it, though.
Yes.
Because you can't, the Hammond organ stuff.
Right.
For example.
Absolutely.
That you did.
HTV, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like, because no matter what you have, you've got to change it up.
You do. And I think that's the other thing is, HTV was running for 4 or 5 seasons, and so you can't. Like, I can't show up in the same jacket and the same outfit every single time.
Amazing as it might be.
Right, yeah. Unless it's some sort of weird theme outfit, like a uniform. But that's not what it was. And so one of the things that I love about resale and consignment is, I can walk into a resale store or consignment shop and turn around and repurpose and say, I'm not gonna use this anymore. So I'm going to trade it in.
Right, right.
And then walk out with a completely different outfit. And for no cost. Sometimes it's the equivalent cost,
right.
Or the equivalent value. So I can walk in with, say, my season one wardrobe and just drop it on the counter and say, here. And while they're going through it, I can go shopping in the store for something else.
And a great, I think we've been many times to Crossroads Trading in
yep.
New York and here in Pasadena. Buffalo Exchange is... a very different vibe. We found more in Crossroads over the years for
yeah.
you. But yeah, and just, this is a recycling. It's just so practical. There's so many good reasons to be recycling and to be buying in the secondary market, which is...
And I'll also say this, not to cut you off, but as someone who is active in the vegan and vegetarian community, for me, and I know there are some vegans out there that would totally disagree with me, and I respect that, but for me, this is my personal principle in styling. It's like, I won't buy, and you know this because you've tried to put me in leather and fur, I simply just won't buy leather and fur. I just won't wear, and I certainly would not wear fur. But when it comes to certain pieces that are categorically and hands down amazing, I won't buy anything new. If it's already on the resale rack, it's there. You're not going to save
right.
anything. And in fact, I look at it as being wasteful. It's like, oh, I'm not going to get it. So for me, ethically, it has good implications as well, because I'm able to still wear certain pieces that I love and not feel like they're going to waste, and also not feel like I'm harming animals in the process. Not to say that the harm that's done is okay, but simply to say it's
you're
here already. We're not
something.
Adding to it. And let's continue giving this life while it, because otherwise it's going to sit there. It's going to get thrown away. It's going to get donated and then thrown away. Who knows what's going to happen to it So if it's already made and designed, then I might as well.
Well, I think one outfit that we pulled together for you was a vintage leather jacket, but then I was so excited to find vegan shoes.
Oh, yes.
You remember?
I do.
Outsourcing.
I do, yes.
Yeah, those look good. You still wear those.
Yeah, they're a purple snakeskin vegan platform boot by a really wonderful designer called Creedicore.
Okay.
And I love Creedicore's shoes. They're awesome. No, and I think also the fact that you can find faux leather and vegan and eco-friendly choices in consignment stores and resale shops. I mean, I know you feature some really cool key pieces both at Walker Vide and Luxury Consignment and on Jenny Girl's Closet, and you make sure to say, hey, this is vegan or you know, ethically sourced or whatever. And I think that's great because a lot of big brand stores don't really do that as much. And so it's lovely to see that that fashion is thinking forward like that.
Well, it's like a double whammy. It's vintage vegan leather, right?
Yes, so VVL. VVL. Exactly. That's what we're going to start something new.
New hashtag, yeah. VVL.
Yeah. Totally.
Absolutely.
Totally.
So you've got some things coming up that you're going to need to be dressed for. And I think just recently you were in the store and found some things, and we put you in a number of different pieces for potential things coming up for you, and everything from shoes to
dresses,
to accessories, cool jackets and shirts. Yeah. But you know, it's for me, it's a lot of fun because I can style right out of my own store, and I don't have to go anywhere, and usually I'm able to find everything. I mean, that's what's so cool about it. I mean, it's very rare that I can't put together a whole outfit for you.
Well, I came, was it last week or the week before? I showed up at your door at 7 o'clock in the morning, right? And I said, I need a belt.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I had a series of meetings that day. We were going all over LA, looking at locations for various events and public appearances that are happening. And the folks that I was meeting with throughout the day, although nothing was happening that day to be on camera, you never know if someone's going
to
take a picture or if there's social media stuff going on. And so, I mean, and I remember I was dressed exclusively in Jenny Girl's Closet and Walker Vide in the luxury consignment.
And what was fun is that you had the dress.
Right.
And this is the thing, it was very LA appropriate in terms of the weight of the fabric and everything. And we added this vintage belt, but then we added this denim jacket.
Oh, I swear by that jacket.
With this really cool distressed cross on the back. And it was very cool to watch that come together in our panic 7 a.m. session.
Yeah.
But thank goodness I had the inventory.
And
we were able to pull that off.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I
actually bought the jacket.
She actually bought the jacket, which was awesome. And then she's
on
my walking billboard.
I'm going to be wearing it tomorrow, actually, on my flight to Las Vegas.
Which is a great example. So you wanted like a distressed kind of denim. Because we were talking about, you know, in LA it gets cold at night. So you needed something. And I'm like, well, what? And then you're like, well, do you have like a little denim? And I'm like,
Because you kept pulling out black wool.
Yeah.
And I said, we're not in New York anymore. This isn't going to work. Yeah.
I'm having a hard time with that. Like, this is the one failure that my brain cannot comprehend.
Well, I don't think it's
all
these years. It's a habit. I don't think it's
on the
failure.
East Coast. I spent my entire life just about on the East Coast, and the last 16 years in New York, where everything is cashmere and wool and leather and heavy
and
black. Layered and black and downfilled.
Right.
And I keep forgetting
that it's 90 degrees outside.
90 degrees outside. Yeah. And people like come to the store like, y'all got a lot of leather in here.
No, it's true. When I was in there the other day and we were trying on stuff, right? And you kept showing me sleeveless turtleneck tops. And I said, what? I'm not wearing this. I'm going to die.
I can't seem to remember, but the customers will always remind me.
Yes.
Or you will.
Yeah.
Somebody brought in something the other day and I said, do you have anything more like this? Because they brought me all this silk Johnny Waz stuff.
I love Johnny Waz.
And it always sells.
Right.
And you know, I'm like, bring it in because I need something lightweight.
Right.
I'm like buried in these clothes, heavy clothes.
Right.
But then again, we sell all over the world because we're on eBay. So it's always cold somewhere in the world.
That's true. That's
and,
very true.
But still, you have to have pieces that make sense in this climate. So
yeah, you
that's
do.
What we're trying to do.
No, for sure.
Well, Miss Emiko, thank you for your time tonight. I appreciate it. Do you have any other final thoughts on this podcast for people?
Well, I can officially say, aside from my existing wardrobe, and I just cleared out a bunch of stuff in New York last month or the month before. But aside from that, since I moved here, I basically exclusively shop either at Walker Vide and Luxury Consignment, Jenny Girl's Closet, and not just on her eBay store, which is unbelievably impressive. I will literally go into the actual Jenny Girl's Closet, which is by appointment only.
Yeah.
Secret undisclosed location. It's absolutely very glamorous.
There's even fresh flowers.
There's bottled water and wine, which is lovely.
Not a good artwork.
Yeah, or I will give a shout out to Crossroads because I just adore them, and I find different things at all of their shops.
Them too. They're awesome. They're all part of this industry. I mean, this podcast is not about anyone in particular.
Right.
It is about everyone as a group and as a community. And
right.
this reselling, the thrift shop community, the consignment community, the e-commerce community,
sure.
you know, which is just, you know, the statistics that are out by, it's just billions of dollars that are now being spent in this area of retail.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting for me because I've been in this space a long time, not full-time as in my full-time job, but like always in my life, I've been involved in fashion and in styling.
Yes.
And I'm just, for someone who didn't see it coming, like if you'd have said, oh, you know, there's going to be a big behemoth called The Real Real that's going to just take over the world
right.
for online e-commerce, I just said, I don't see it coming. But
right.
That's why it's so exciting to
see
where this is going. I think that it's here to stay. I think that this is a game changer, just like all electric cars. I mean, it's not going anywhere. So I'm thrilled to be a part of the community. And yes, I love Crossroads. I love all of it. I study it. I'm in the stores. I'm always trying to see what's going on.
Well, and you have a wonderful, I don't know if this is a closed group or an open group, but I know you have a wonderful Facebook page for the love of consignment.
Yeah,
and
it's open.
Right?
It's public. I haven't really talked about that in any of my podcasts. So yes.
Yeah, you guys should check it out because Jenny posts the most amazing articles and blogs and insights and things. And I just, from my own perspective, for my own selfish needs as an artist, like I will peruse through that if I'm, you know, in a car, in transit, or in a hotel, or whatever, and I learn so much. And then I also learn about different designers from you, which is really key, I think, in being an artist. Like you always have to stay kind of fashion forward and true to yourself, and balance style with your personality. And that's something that Jenny's really, really good at honing in on. So I would
making
highly
me blush.
It's true, but it's true though.
Did you see the article on social media influences? That's one of the reasons I put that on there was because that's kind of your space. And
yeah.
for those of you, just to kind of reiterate what Emiko has said, is that I run this Facebook page or group called For the Love of Retail, Resale, and Consignment. And the reason I started it is because my first job out of college was at a brokerage firm. And I worked with the research analyst. So I learned about researching and secondary research and information from a very young age. So I'm always thinking holistically about something. Okay, what industry am I in and what can I learn from what other people are doing? And so I decided I would create a group or a page where I could just put everything that I read so I could, and I just started adding. All I really do is I have some articles pushed to me through Google, but I'm always looking what's happening in the industry, what's going on, the way an analyst would, although I don't track it like daily the way an analyst truly would. I just kind of haphazardly
put in articles, you know, this is what's happening. Things that are really interesting and not just the stuff that everybody is sharing and reposting. You put up things that are quite in depth, I think, and offer unique insights and perspectives into the whole this whole industry. And so that's very valuable. And for anybody that wants to learn about consignment and resale and who's interested in learning about either how to be a stylist or how to revamp and I think better hone in and express your own personal style, I mean, I think your Facebook page is a really good place to start. And obviously Walker Vide and Luxury Consignment and Jenny Girl's Closet. And just, you know, following you on Instagram and social media, I think, is a big help to people.
Well, people can find you there, too. So, Emiko is a we stated in the beginning, as I stated,
I remain silent.
Yeah, recording artist extraordinaire. But anyway, she's on all the social media too, and was it emikomusic.com? Yes.
Yeah,
Emiko. It's Emiko Music everywhere, isn't it?
It's, on all the social media. Yeah, everything is at Emiko Music, E-M-I-K-O Music.
So you can see, you know, some of the stuff. If you go to my JennyGirlsCloset.com website, you can see Emiko in a number of outfits from the live performance things, where it's always important to get that chunky necklace going.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh,
with the live performance in L.A. at that one of your shows, and then the Grammy thing is on there, and then the Grammy event was on there, the Grammy Awards. Yeah. I put something for that music video where you wore the Union Jack.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm having a hard time remembering that. What's the name of that?
I Believe
You. I Believe You. And I Believe You. So I believe it is the name. And so so you can check out I've done so much beyond that. As a matter of fact, we should get some of those photos, like from the white tuxedo, the Ralph Lauren tuxedo jacket.
I would be willing to reshoot that for you because my haircut got botched by some lady in Queens.
But that's what Photoshop is for.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
I'll Photoshop my head from now on it.
I don't remember it looking bad.
I do. I remember. But anyway, that's a story for another time.
Yeah, we can add that on there. So
yeah.
Anyway, so Emiko, thank you for your time tonight. People they know how to reach you if they want to check you out, or some of the styling and check out your music and all of that. You're out there.
She's
in the zeitgeist, so just go take a look and you'll find her. But anyway, thank you for giving me your time tonight.
Happy to. Thank you for inviting me to do this.
So hopefully y'all have gotten a little bit out of this tonight. It's my first, again, interview with another person on this podcast, and they get really tired of the monologues, you know.
Well, it's always fun to chat with you. So.
Yeah, but I don't say when I do this. Like, and the other ones, I'm like,
See, and now but what you do is see now, but you're rambling, though.
But it's better because now I have someone to bounce something off of, so
I'm now
in practice with that. All right. So thank you so much. So, Emiko, thank you for your time tonight. And for those who are listening, thank you for spending your time with me tonight as we talk about how you can dress like a rock star like Beyonce on a budget and get unique pieces in the resale and thrifting and consignment community as you look to build your image as an artist. All right. Well, if you want more information, you can find me on the web at JennyGirlsCloset.com or WalkerBiden.com and on all social media. And until then, we'll see you on the next podcast.